Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with J-Rod, King of the Slams, James, who does not live in a hotel. And we are joined by very special guests today. We have Lottie.
Hi.
Say hello. And Nick.
Hello.
From, it's going to be really hard to explain this crossover episode. It's going to be like when the Harlem Globetrotters were on Scooby-Doo. And we're joined also by Nick of Progressive Podcast Australia.
Yeah. Hey, great to be here.
It's great to have you guys. I'm gonna talk about one of the most confusing days in my life recently, when I woke up and found out that That's a Chunky, a podcast which I one day had hoped that like 5 to 10 people would listen to. Another podcast was talking about our podcast, and not in like a really thoughtful way. And almost immediately, James, who is like easily the smartest of us three, was like, we should reach out to them and try to do a podcast with them. And I found that they had already reached out to us, which was really exciting. I think one of the questions we all had first was, can you guys talk about how you got into I Think You Should Leave?
You want to take that?
Yeah, well, my friend Zoe just introduced me to it. Like, it was before season 2 was out, so 2019, I think. I think I was pretty into it straight away. Like, I've been trying to remember what the first sketch was that like really had me hooked, and I can't really remember. I think we started from the start, so the door going both ways was probably the first sketch I saw. In the early days, me and Zoe and Jess, our other friend, we quoted two kind of controversial sketches, but The Man was one of our favorites. The like, do I know you? No, but I know you was one of our favorites. And the pink bag, which, yeah, I then like later found out aren't really like crowd favorites, but the moment of like trying to shove two meatballs back in my scrotum and cake batter back into my penis, it's like just perfect.
Great.
So yeah.
Yeah, I'd say for me, I remember it just came up on our Netflix thing, and I didn't know who Tim Robinson was. I had no kind of basis beyond enjoying sketch comedy shows, mainly probably more like Australian and UK sketch comedy shows, like the Mitchell and Webb stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but like UK sketch comedy, and yeah, a few Australian shows. So that was kind of the only thing of like liking comedy and liking sketch comedy. I think the preview I was drawn in by, and then just loved it. I was like, this is my exact sense of humor after watching it. I think that Has This Ever Happened to You was like the first one where, yeah, I just kind of was like, just lost it with that one. And so I really love the show right away, but I'm definitely not, I wasn't at the level I am now where I was the other day listening to your show and then putting out our episode on I Think Should Leave. And then I said to my partner, do you want to watch an I Think Should Leave sketch? And she was like, no, you've had enough already. So yeah, I'm definitely not at that. I wasn't, I'm definitely listening to your show on Lottie's recommendation is kind of put me next level, because I've always liked shows, but I've never gone to the extent where I'd buy a t-shirt or I'd listen to a podcast about a show. So yeah, definitely have gone next level over the last few months for sure.
Yeah, same. I think it's been listening to your podcast too, like just solidifying some of the quotes, having like getting to the next level of appreciation. Like there was one that like I think with like the Bozo sketch, Reggie, and like just the analysis that you have of like his level of thinking of like, oh, like there's the people like clowns and people like dick jokes, and now I'll do a dub with like a clown and making jokes about penises. And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Yeah, that was really deep. Like, I'm not even supposed to be here. It was like how he felt in the workplace and stuff. I was like, wow, that's deep. I just thought it was funny, but yeah. That's deep. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's hit a lot of us recently that a lot of the sketches do have a deeper meaning or like a really concrete origin, And you don't need to know that to laugh. And it's sometimes it almost, I don't know if it makes it less funny, but sometimes you're like, oh, that's what's going on. But before we get too deep, I do want you guys to sort of talk about what a typical podcast is like for you guys, you know, what you guys are aiming to do and how you guys brought, like, I think you should leave into some of your episodes, because I think it's important for where we're probably going down the line.
Yeah. The show is probably a little bit different to how it started. I don't know how far you went back, Lottie, in terms of listening to this show, but the image for our podcast is like a protest fist kind of thing. And then it's like, we're talking about our funniest sketches that I think you should leave. So it has been a bit of a turn. We still definitely always do have that social justice focus, but I think it's like, yeah, we definitely, it, like the podcast is just so broad in terms of its focus, but my partner Katie has chronic fatigue. So she watches a lot of TV, but I guess just like outside of work and stuff like that, even though she's interested in all those social justice issues, she doesn't really have the mental energy to listen to like hardcore political podcasts that I like to listen to in amongst comedy podcasts and other stuff as well. But I guess it was like, but she's also interested in kind of viewing those shows through the lens of like thinking about representation and political messaging and that kind of thing. And so probably over the last few years, obviously the pandemic as well, there's just been less activism happening as well. But we've, continue to cover those issues, but also have kind of turned to pop culture and looked at sort of pop culture through a political lens. But also I think we've also pivoted to, or I guess I have, and we did a whole episode this around the Bo Burnham special Inside.
Yeah.
And kind of thinking about podcasting as, you know, hopefully playing some kind of role in social change, at least like for those podcasts that are kind of trying to do that, but also thinking of this as a creative project. So if I'm obsessed with Bo Burnham's Inside, I'm going to do an episode on that rather than talking about something else I'm not particularly. Other times I might be obsessed over the Israel-Palestine conflict and want to talk about that for four episodes or whatever other topic. But it's kind of gone down the road of like, yeah, it is a political show, but also it is also about whatever I'm obsessed about at that particular moment as well, which I think You Should Leave brings in. And we've kind of, I've changed the name, the description of the podcast to be, I think probably more accurately reflect where we're at now with the show. Pop culture is in there. So yeah, I Think You Should Leave. It's probably confusing and we'll probably get some "what is this, Reggie's" from the audience. But I guess that's sort of the way we've gone with the show.
We also changed our title thanks to the helpful recommendation of another podcast.
I kind of liked it. I was like, they really like, they don't care about the numbers. They're doing it for pure joy.
Cash grab.
And when I listened to that, I was on my commute and I was like, oh God, why didn't we put the name of the show in there? What? That's so obvious.
Seems pretty obvious.
You're now like director of marketing for us. Thank you for that.
and Jared, when you first listened to the episode, like what, there was some amazing stuff in there. Like what stood out to you, like when you first heard it?
Of the Progressive podcast?
Yeah, like when you listened to the episode about us. No, it's like,
Lottie, I loved your breakdown of, I'm just drawing a blank right now, but you did a pretty elaborate breakdown of a sketch that we just reviewed in the past week, and we kind of rushed through. Oh, it was the steering wheel or the driving thing. And I thought it was great. Like I completely forgot the touching the steering wheel and like burning his hands. And like, you did an excellent breakdown of that, it's weird. Cause I don't listen to our podcast that much, mostly because I don't know. I get uncomfortable with the idea of listening to our own podcast, oddly. But I get the experience that I think some of our listeners probably get is just the joy of like, you know, feeding off someone else's passion or interest in it. I like when you veered into the politics of it, because you pointed out that like both Kevin and I don't really talk about politics directly that much. Like and I don't think that was really like a conscious decision, although Kevin may disagree. Like I'm not afraid to talk about it by any means. And I love that you appropriately credited James for his excellent political based memes, which I've done multiple times. I always like retweet them when I see them because they're hilarious. But yeah, it was kind of surreal to hear you guys talk about it. And thank you for all of the kind words. And yeah, I really enjoyed some of your breakdowns.
Thank you.
And James, how does it feel to be like a left-wing pinky who podcasts with like two right-wing like terrorists practically?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Oh no, we're gonna get NSA is listening to this now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, move the Overton window for you guys a little bit so you shift a little bit back towards the center. No, I mean, I think, you know, I don't shy away from the politics stuff on the Twitter, but I tend to kind of keep it a little bit like kind of obscure or not like outright saying, you know, just political stuff. But I did appreciate just like, you know, that Lottie and Nick kind of specifically picked up on a number of tweets that I had done. And, you know, I think if you follow my account, it's like pretty clear where my politics lie and like the kinds of things that I, you know, tend to agree and disagree with.
And do you get pushback, James, from any of those? Because I think I've never seen comments like pushing back publicly, but I think I've seen you tweet at one point someone being like, oh, when I post a political tweet, and then they're like, I didn't ask for that.
Yeah, that was me. I apologize. That was me.
I feel like I've had a couple, just a handful of like replies kind of complaining about it on Twitter. I've gotten several, I mean, maybe like probably less than 10, but still several direct messages of people complaining, not even really about the memes, but there was a while there where like all of my likes were very political, and the Twitter will, you know, show tweets that have been liked by people that you follow on your timeline. And so I have gotten several messages from more conservative leaning followers basically complaining about the things that I like showing up on their timeline. And my likes tend to skew a lot further left than what I post also. Yeah. So that's been fun. I have, I think, something saved in my drafts that's just like what my more conservative followers think on some when they see my likes. And it's just the clip from the Cars video of the guy saying, this is the maddest I've ever been. but I haven't had the guts to tweet that.
And I do want to clarify and put us in danger of losing like both of our conservative listeners. I am like very far to the left. I think probably more than some people would even think, people who know me well. I come from a very liberal family. All of my aunts went to Brandeis, if anybody are familiar with that. Massachusetts College, incredibly, you know, sort of like the Cal Berkeley of the East Coast.
We'll get onto that as well, maybe the Australian versus US thing as well.
And I think I probably have not talked a lot about it on That's a Chunky because it just seems like that whole I think you should leave world is either like people who know they're very liberal, people who are and don't know it yet, and then maybe like I've met in the United States, I've met several people in the last few years who all their ideas are liberal, but they think they're conservative. You'll be like, I like unions. And they're like, yeah, I like unions. And you're like, I think working people should make more money. And they're like, yeah, me too. And you go down the line and you're like, who are you going to vote for? And they tell you, and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. Like that person goes against everything you stand for. So like, I think the people who like, even, you know, like if you watch, I think you should leave your, you know, there's a lot easier places in the United States to get like an all white cast or like, you know, yeah. And you know, you could be a lot more, you know, comfortable with your prejudices, but if you're watching, I think you should leave your, I don't know. It's just, I think I've yet to encounter any like conservative hatred in this world, in the world, of I think you should leave.
I was kind of curious to ask you that, Kevin, in terms of the subreddit. I remember just on one of the episodes you mentioned like everyone's so great on there, it's your happy place, and that's definitely my experience with I think you should leave interactions on Twitter and those kind of things. Yeah, kind of like my people, like people who kind of get your sense of humor and stuff. But you mentioned like very rarely there is like a really not so great person. Is that like far right people, or is it just like general assholes or that kind of thing, like the occasional person on the subreddit who kind of doesn't get it and kind of gets sort of in a funny way sort of moved along, I guess?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think like from my recent viewing of the subreddit, it's like it's a well-oiled machine. Like it's really hard to find somebody who doesn't understand. And like, I just remember early on when we were first doing the podcast, I'd go on and like, I'd throw a catchphrase in the comments and like, I'd be like, this is pretty funny. And like now when I go on and see the stuff people are replying, it's, I'm like, I'm not on that level. Like, I feel like, you know, I feel like this is probably gonna be another analogy that doesn't make any sense to you guys, but like, I feel like a professional basketball player in 1950, like seeing what the people are doing now, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's progressed so far. I can't believe how funny it is. And it just seems, you know, like we've had our Instagram, that's like a big source of interaction with the world for me. And it's been 100% positive. Like I have not got a crossword from anybody. I haven't, you know, I've put myself out there in a lot of worlds, and you're always going to have people who are like, you know, what do you think, you're so great, or like, you know, you're not that good. And it's just, there's something about this universe of I think you should leave that it seems incredibly positive, fun, funny. And I really, that's not like, it's not anything I'm taking any credit for. It's more like I want to make this podcast because I want to connect to these people who are so pleasant to deal with all the time. Including the subreddit.
Isn't like the negative comments that happen on the subreddit are mostly people just saying they don't get the show or don't like it, and then people kind of just like jokingly pounce on them? Isn't that more of the reaction?
And I think some of it is like people making I think you should leave comments on non I think you should leave posts.
Yeah, I was gonna say that same thing. Yeah.
And like that you'll see understandable.
Yeah, like I feel like you might see someone's call or say someone else is a piece of shit in a comment, and then I think you should leave fan would reply like, people can change, and then they'll get downvoted because, you know, people don't understand what the reference is. So they think you're standing up for like a terrible person or whatever.
Yeah. I do think it's even getting, I think the show is getting big enough now that when that happens, it's still like aggregately getting upvoted. Because so many people know the catchphrases now.
It's because of all the hard work of the That's a Chunky podcast, you know, getting the word out and growing the fandom.
It's the Twitter page.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know how big it is, like, and I don't know if it's age or something like that, but in my, I'm a sociology, academic in sociology, and in my class this week, we were talking about subcultures and countercultures and that kind of thing. And so we had to wear our uniform to class. That was like a thing to kind of get us in the mood. So I wore this shirt to class all week this week. That was teaching tutorials, like probably about maybe 80 or 90 students. Two had seen the show.
Okay.
And those who did were not huge fans. Like I started quoting the show and they just sort of went blank. I was like, okay, not on that level then. So I don't know if that's like, yeah, like whether like they're too like young, like that's sort of like 17, 18 year olds. I don't know. Like I'm sure some like it, but I don't know. Or the Australian thing, maybe it's bigger in the US. I don't know. But I thought there might be a question.
I had a question for you guys. Do you ever watch any of the sketches and you feel like you're not under, like, is there anything that seems like American to you in a way? Like, do you guys have any questions that are like?
So I had a few questions.
We've got a few. Yeah.
I'm so excited about this.
I didn't realize this, but in one of your recent episodes, you said that Spectrum is an actual thing. Yeah. I just assumed that were made up. Company. And so then I was like, well, maybe Corncob TV is real. Maybe Coffin Flop is real. Like, what's happening? No.
We almost have Coffin Flop. Like, there are reality shows that
it's getting like, pretty dark.
Pretty close.
Okay, but yeah, Corncob TV is not real.
Correct.
No. Okay, but Spectrum is. Okay.
Yes.
I'm on actually the same page now.
When I was watching that, I was surprised that they used a real
cable
TV company for that. But I mean, I think, you know, all TV, I think Spectrum is like TV provider and internet and probably like phone and stuff like that. And I feel like every company in that space is like universally reviled by every customer. Yeah. At least here, I don't know if it's the same in Australia or how that works, but so like I don't think there was any risk of there being like Spectrum fans who would be upset by it being the butt of the joke. I think Spectrum is maybe a little bit more regional, but like Comcast is the larger company, but it's basically exactly the same reputation of like being terrible and bad customer service and trying to scam you out of getting the refund for the router that you returned for your internet or whatever. Everybody hates them, not just because they canceled Corncob TV, but just for everything else too.
Yeah. Ironically, if they had Corncob TV, they would be much more popular. It would be like an excellent brand move on their part.
Yeah. Also, I know you guys are big music fans. Herbie Hancock is a real person.
Yes, thank you. but he wasn't the actor. He didn't play himself.
Which I did not know.
Another character from the show who's real is Santa Claus. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, he's actually
an American. Not in Australia. No, not yet. No. That was something I learned.
I'm going to sound so ignorant, but what do you guys call him, Santa Claus, in Australia?
Yeah. Father Christmas gets a bit as well, doesn't it? I'm from like I'm from Perth, like, which is like the backward side of Australia originally. I'm in Melbourne now, which is like the maybe the Portland of Melbourne, would you say, or something like that. Like, so
okay,
yeah, maybe it's a Perth thing. Yeah, maybe it's from there.
Australia's like relatively homogenous when it comes to like the way we talk and things like that, but then we'll just have like really random things where we're like, oh, you call it that, so maybe it's a Perth Melbourne thing. But we've always called him Santa.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, if we do the conversion to Australian dollars, what's his rate?
Yeah, I guess that would be
it's been so long since
6 million I've been... maybe.
Okay, not bad.
It's less, still right? It's less good. Australian, is that right?
And if he does less, a bad job.
I think it'll be more. It'd be more Australian. It might be like AUD, actually, 2.5, 3 maybe.
Yeah.
I was also thinking one the other day, the Stable of Stars one. I don't know if it's just my ignorance, but Johnny Carson and George Kennedy. George Bush, I know. The others,
George Kennedy, not so huge.
Yeah, so I was like, I have no idea whether this is a good impersonator, whether he looks anything or sounds anything like him.
Not great.
I feel like you don't necessarily need to pick up those restaurants. Like I was going to move to a place we're thinking of looking at a place in like somewhere that didn't have so many nice restaurants. So that sketch, like I just around that time, I repeated that sketch so many times. So I still love the sketch. Yeah.
Just another thing was I had never heard of Claire's, and my friend Zoe, who introduced the show to me, is from the US, and she was like, she maybe said like, oh, it's like funny that they used an actual the actual name of a place, and I was like, oh, so Claire's is real. And I assume do they have those, I don't know if any of you have accompany someone to get their ears pierced, or maybe you're getting to the point where you'll get your own ear piercing soon.
I swear, like maybe that their dads might be there.
Yeah, that's maybe you accompanied your dad to get his first ear piercing, and you saw the videos, or
I don't think the videos happen. So I've taken my daughter. My daughter is not pierced yet. She's 10.
Got to get 40 lbs.
Do you have to? I know she actually cleared 60 lbs. 60, recently.
60.
Yeah. Yeah. You might have to edit this out, Kevin. And I don't think they have a video, but it is a sort of like cheapish like earring and trinket shop. Like my daughter loves going there. They do ear piercings there, but they're typically in shopping malls. They're not like nice. They're kind of cheap. And my daughter has discovered them recently and goes with her friends, and like they just buy a lot of like little trinkets and like lipstick and like lip balm and everything. It's kind of a trashier store that I'm becoming more familiar with by the day.
It's like the kind of store that a 10-year-old could spend her allowance little like things that she thinks are cute or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Mars Restaurant was another one. Just from listening to one of your recent shows, I think it was Jared mentioned that there's a restaurant in Chicago where they're rude to you. And I'd heard of that vaguely. So I play hockey for our American listeners and ice hockey for our Australian listeners. But so I do like hang out with lots of Canadian people and people from the US and Europe and that kind of thing. But there was a Canadian guy I played hockey with, and he was talking about a similar restaurant in Canada of like they serve you food. They go, there you go, you dickhead or whatever, which was amusing. But we've got nothing like that in Australia. So yeah, I thought it was just something they came up with. I didn't think it was like inspired by anything.
There are most people don't know like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, I think I went to the other one. I don't think I went to Ed DeBevick's. There was another one. I can't even remember.
Well, there's like Wrigleyville Dogs, where it's just sort of there have been skits on like national TV, like Triumph. We have this like Triumph the Insult Dog comic, which is one of our late night shows. Was big on it, and he went to that. But it's basically a hot dog stand where they talk shit to you the entire time you're there and make fun of you and like, and you like yell back at them, and it's predominantly drunk people like having fun and joking around with people. It's a more authentic version of Ed DeBevick's, I would say, which is kind of a commercial, like, I think it's even a chain now, but I have not been there in like 20 years, so I don't know.
And I was gonna try to convince you guys that Little Buff Boys was a real thing and really big in the United States. Like it's kind of like Aussie Rules football. It's like they fill stadiums, but
bigger Buff Boys. Yeah,
I don't think that would be the right move.
Is Cherry Chuck Salad a thing?
Oh no!
No!
Can't be healthy.
We do have some weird foods, but no.
I was also going to ask you guys. Sorry, on the Australian American thing, if I said where is your bin, would you know what I was talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we were staying in a Airbnb in Portland, and then we were like, where's your bin? And then she gave us a really blank look, and then we're like, rubbish bin, and she's like, what? And then we're like, trash can, and then she was like, yeah, and that was it.
Where's your fucking junk?
I was telling James before you guys came on that Bluey is really big in my house right now.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really good. And in that eight sort of like the ages and character of the family sort of mirrors mine. Mm-hmm. And it's a big deal. And it's maybe the best children's show I've seen, which will probably say something for what American children's TV is like. So my children sometimes will be like, Dad, where's the bin? Because they've been watching Australian dog children saying the same thing.
I didn't know it was Australian. Okay. There
you go. I believe it is. Yeah.
What show is this? What is it called?
Bluey. Really good. Might be a little too young for your kids. Takes place in Brisbane.
Actually, speaking of Australia versus US shows, I just feel like, again, there's particular references we don't get, but like we're also so saturated with US culture that like we get most of the references, but you probably don't get ours in a lot of the cases. And obviously the Bluey an example.
Absolutely.
But, Well, one thing, like Ali G is a bit of an old reference, probably too old for Lottie, but I'm guessing you guys are familiar with Ali G. Like,
it's maybe my favorite show ever.
Yeah, like, yeah. I love
no offense to Tim Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I love the show, but it was interesting because I thought he was getting recognized too much in the UK, so he went to the US. But what I didn't realize, that there's one of my favorite ones is Drugs, like the sketch on Drugs, and he goes through all the different drugs.
Yeah.
And oh my God. I didn't realize when he went to the US, he did the exact same like bit, just with a different guy, and like changed two words in the bit. And it was like, can't people in the US just learn two or three new words from the UK? Like, I don't understand that thing of like just replicating the thing rather than just like enjoying the UK, the video that was filmed in the UK. So I feel like you guys are spoon-fed a lot in the US.
Oh, definitely. But really, so before they made the United States version, you know, like the United States, like anywhere, there's most people are into just like pop culture, and then we have our counterculture people. And the British like tapes were almost getting like dubbed on VHS for like the counterculture crowd. So what's funny is Jared has one of my friends lived with him in college briefly, Peter. Pete had the like British dub. So I watched the British versions first. And that happens a lot. Like I watched the British Office, and then make the American version. And oh yeah, I mean, we get spoon-fed everything. And, you know, obviously like there's movies that they've filmed in like, you know, like Old Boy, and then they remake it in the United States and it's like significantly worse. Yeah. Guys, so there.
Do you guys know what Kath and Kim is?
No.
That's an Australian comedy, and it's like, it's a mother and daughter, like mother and adult daughter, and the kind of, do you know what a bogan is?
No.
So, I think it's like, is it a hick kind
of? Yeah, it's like outer hicks, I guess.
It's kind of like the outer suburb, kind of like upper middle class bogans kind of thing. Really iconic Australian show, and they tried to do a US version, and it flopped.
So same with Peep Show as well. Peep Show, I don't know if you guys watched that at all. It's a UK sitcom, but it was my previous favorite show before I Think She'll Leave came along. But they did an American version of that too, and it didn't turn out well. But yeah, again, just like the watching the Drugs thing, like the UK and then the US, like he changed like two words. It's like, was it really worth doing this again? But yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I don't remember watching the UK version of that. I do remember the American one. I kind of want to see if I can find that.
Yeah, the UK Drugs one. Yeah, like if you search and they'll both come up. I think the UK one was funnier. Just the drug expert they had was a bit funnier. Yeah,
I believe it. All right. One thing that's been living in my head, Jared, is the discussion of why do I refer to like an unknown I Think You Should Leave fan as he. And I've been thinking about that a lot. That.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I was actually thinking, well, is my brain doing that? Because almost every interaction I've had with a I Think You Should Leave fan has actually been a he. I would say the fan base probably does skew that way.
Yeah, well, I guess that wasn't trying to call you out of the. I was more just wondering, like, was it you?
No,
assuming,
I'm curious.
Or was it the name or the avatar? Or like, I was just curious, like, yeah, again, is it all men on the subreddit? Or
when I heard that, I was like, that's really curious. I don't know why I did that. But it does seem like the fan base is heavily male. Am I incorrect on that?
I think you're probably
right. What do you think,
right?
James?
Yeah, I mean, I think it skews heavily male, heavily like millennial white would be my guess, which is kind of interesting because, I mean, you guys touched on in your episodes about I Think You Should Leave and the crossover to politics how, I mean, despite that it seems like it also skews heavily left politically and kind of like, you know, progressive socially. And so it's an interesting like subsection of people who seem to like the show. But I mean, yeah, I mean, looking at the people on Twitter, I'd say it definitely skews male, but I mean, not, you know, maybe not overwhelmingly so. There's definitely a large number of, you know, female and not even non-binary fans that I've interacted with on Twitter for sure.
Jared, what percentage of our listeners do you think are male according to our Anchor software?
Oh, you can actually, like,
I'm looking right now. I haven't looked in a long time.
I think Facebook would be a bit, like, Facebook actually does break it down by gender and age and stuff. I don't know if you'll get that on Anchor. Maybe you do. I'm not with Anchor.
No, I haven't.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it does have gender. Oh, okay. Oh,
I would say 88%
now.
Wow.
Weirdly, wow. I think our like Instagram does not skew that heavily. And our average, our biggest age range, 36% of our listeners are 28 to 34.
Huh.
It's sort of like a normal curve around there. And then, you know, we do have 21%, 23 to 27, 26%, 35 to 44. We have 0% 17 and under, which I feel good about. We'd be doing something wrong if we were really.
Yeah, everybody's over 60 lbs listening to this.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have 2% over 60. So thanks, Dad.
Those are the teens who are downloading it on their parents' like devices.
That's probable. And then we can actually get some like. We do have 2% of our listeners in Australia. So thanks, Lottie.
Excellent. thank you.
And 2 out of our 100 listeners are.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and we do have, you know, we have some listeners in the UK and Canada, which I don't know how that happened, but here we are. Mm-hmm. All right. What else do we have? I have some stuff written, but I'm sure Jared's got some questions. James has some questions.
Yeah, I guess, how did you find our podcast? You kind of talked about it on the show. I know you tried searching for I Think You Should Leave, but how did you actually...
I didn't put spaces between the words. So okay.
I think I found out about it probably on James's Twitter. I just remember...
Yeah, totally, James. It's totally James.
Yeah.
I will throw out the first time James was on our podcast, our numbers went kind of crazy.
And when James retweeted our episode, like, I was thinking we'd lose listeners, but Lottie was on our episode before, and there was like a 4-month gap. We had done it. So that episode had 4 months sitting there, people listened to, and we beat that in about 12 hours with that episode. So
amazing. James is a kingmaker.
Yeah,
he is.
And I mean, that makes me very happy that I can, like, I mean, I'd run this stupid Twitter account just for like, as a diversion, but like to be able to use the powers for good.
Genius. <great. laughs> I do want to throw out, I was thinking about this when you were talking about a sketch I love, which is Has This Ever Happened to You? I really, really love that sketch. And one of my favorite moments in my life was we had Steve Moulton on. And I asked if we could be members of the Turbo team. And he said, yes. Steve Moulton, if anybody uses Instagram, he is a great follow. We've kept in touch. He's close. We'll have him back on soon. And Steve, he sent me this super long message I have to read, but not today. I'll do it next episode. But Steve is incredibly progressive. And most of his posts are about, you know, sort of like current US politics. I mean, it's like, you could post something every day the way like US politics has been the last 5 or so years. I mean, it's just like things are swinging one way or another. So it's just interesting, this sketch that you guys enjoy, Steve, who's one of the 2 Turbo team members, he probably will listen to your podcast. He's an incredibly progressive person.
Oh, really? So. Awesome. Yeah, I definitely got that vibe, like not necessarily like, from basically everyone on your show, everyone involved in the show, like not having like necessarily like a really specific political ideology, but just being like really, I don't know, like again, it's kind of like the contradiction we spoke about in terms of like the show being about like farts and mud pies, but then like everyone involved seems kind of really wholesome in a way, like just from your discussions with them and stuff. So it's
I think it's just so easy, like if people aren't progressive, to just make really like cheap, easy jokes about race or women or whatever. And so
punch down.
Exactly, like punching down humor. And so if you're listening to something, like I get this from I Think You Should Leave, and I also was getting it from your podcast, even though like you weren't being explicitly political, like the fact that no punching down jokes had happened, it's like that can't be a coincidence. Like you've got to be somewhat progressive, otherwise it just happens. And you know, I like listening or watching things that are just fun and where I can kind of switch off. But if it's got punching down humor, I'm like, well, I can't enjoy it. I can't relax. And so it is just really great to be able to listen to or watch something where you're like, I can completely relax. And like, I'm not like being like super politically active while I'm thinking about this, but I don't need to be, you know, like on edge, like wondering like, oh, are they going to make an offensive joke anytime soon?
Yeah, it doesn't make you feel gross.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah,
and, yeah, I think, and we've. Sorry, James.
Well, I was just going to say, I think something. I think you both mentioned in one of your I Think You Should Leave episodes recently was just the thought that there's an aspect of the show that is like heavy on empathy and sort of getting in the minds of people who are like experiencing an awkward situation or like feeling vulnerable or like, you know, having an odd social interaction. And I think, you know, I think there's certainly an aspect of just like the people who think about that and think about how other people think and get in and like have that level of empathy, you know, in I Think You Should Leave, it comes through in a humorous way of doing that. But I think that sort of correlates with people who think that way tend to, you know, empathy leans left, I think, and progressive in a lot of ways. And so I think that people who like the humor of the show like it for reasons just because they think that way in other aspects of life outside of humor too, which something I hadn't really like put together until I heard you guys mentioning that.
And to sort of like continue with that idea, the conflict, the people who are typically the source of conflict in all the sketches are people that throughout most of the history of society would have been like readily ostracized, like immediately cast out. But people are trying to be patient with them typically in the sketches. Like I can't help but think about like the babysitter sketch, which Jared and I reference a lot. like he is being an absolute, you know, due to his own, you know, nervousness about this lie he tells, he's being like a psycho. And the guy he's physically assaulting himself is like trying to work with him, you know? And that's the further cause of the conflict. But in so many of the sketches, you know, I'm thinking like Instagram with Vanessa Bayer, like people are trying to be patient with the awkward people. So, you know, it's like, I think a lot of times people associate, you know, leftist politics with sort of like certain like political, you know, whatever, socialism, this, that, and the other thing. But I think we all know that really the heart of leftist politics is like inclusion and trying to accept people and trying to understand what people need to be functional in society, right? So like, that's really the heart of a lot of these sketches is this inclusiveness for people who are like almost begging to be excluded.
And I really like, I think it was Jared's point from one of your ranking episodes, but how series two, and I think maybe Kevin as well, about there's more maybe social commentary on series two, but also, yeah, in terms of the one character who's being an asshole or is being awkward at least, but like there's maybe a greater empathy for that character. Like you kind of like realize they're being awkward, but like maybe the ghost tour one being a classic example, but you also feel like kind of sorry for them on some level. So yeah, I think there is kind of empathy for those characters.
I mean, they're pretty patient with the guy in the ghost tour sketch, but even he meets his end where he's done. And really, we try to show this like acceptance by being really tolerant of Jared's ideas on the show. I don't know if we want to switch. Are we around 45 minutes? We can do whatever.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Yeah, we've definitely got other stuff we can talk about, but we can definitely do that over on Progressive Podcast Australia for sure.
By the way, this is a new experience because we use a platform that has a ticking clock for 45 minutes. We just have to pay. It's the free version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's always, and then we've gotten cut off before. Like I've been in mid-sentence because yeah, they cut I you off at it, the 45 yeah. minute mark.
We did that on purpose on our first I Think Should Leave episode. I don't know if you guys maybe got that. It was like a tribute to the series two of the show, how it just cuts off mid-sketch. So we basically had dinner being delivered. So I was like, why don't we just like keep talking? Whenever they dial up, we'll just stop the episode and go to the music by the end of the sketch. So I don't know how many people got that, but yeah, I did appreciate it. I think Lottie was saying your boyfriend, wasn't it, checked his Spotify app. So it was like the modern day equivalent of like people checking their TV while Andy Kaufman's doing his thing. So I was happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about Andy. That outcome. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Tammy Crapp's not a real American thing.
Yeah. Oh, good to know. Good to know.
But it's pretty close.
Definitely real.
Yeah.
But it's in the ballpark of other commercial, right, like child products that
I think they have one that does crap, but it's just not.
Oh yeah. Tammy no, there yeah, no, there's a doll that does go to the bathroom in a fake diaper.
Why?
I don't know.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, S-W-A-Y-Z-I-N-E. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks Diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the Insider Trading sketch. The whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is S-W-A-Y-Z-I-N-E. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.